You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Coming up on the SBS On The Money podcast, the US economy contracts. So is it headed for a recession? Plus, it's now been 100 days since Donald Trump's inauguration. We take a look at his impact and influence on the markets. All that next. Hi, everyone. It is Thursday, the 1st of May, 2025. The Australian share market rising today. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.24%. Despite opening in the red, we'll have the details with Darren Thompson, the Chief Investment Officer from Equity Trustees, in a few moments. But first, to the US economy. Is it headed for a recession? GDP contracted for the first time since 2022, down 0.3% annualized in the first 3 months of 2025. So where now and what does it mean for investors? For that and more, I spoke with Professor Hugh Harley from the University of Sydney. Hugh, so first of all, how would you describe the state of the US economy right now?
Well, I'd say it's under pressure, but I wouldn't say it's on the mat. Right. Clear last night that in the US, a lot of people have brought imports in the March quarter ahead of the Trump changes, and that's taken a lot out of growth. But if you abstract from that and just look at private spending, consumption, investment, that was running pretty well at exactly the same rate as the previous quarter, December quarter, a clip of about 3%. So, you know, that's it. As of today, or end of March, that's not by any means a weak outcome. Now, if you look at unemployment, that's gone from 3.5% a year ago. Today, it's 4.2%. You know, that's definitely edging up. And, you know, if that continues at the same rate, in a year we'll be at 5%, and that'll start getting people a bit nervous.
To what extent, though, is the last quarter's contraction linked to Donald Trump's tariff policies? And before that, were there any signs that the growth in the US economy was halting?
Well, the last quarter's number, the fall of 0.3% annualised for the March quarter, that was absolutely driven by a 40% surge in imports. And that in turn was about people bringing in imports into the US ahead of the Trump changes. So that was absolutely a result that reflects the anticipation of what Trump was going to do. Now, if you abstract from that, then growth for that period didn't actually look too bad. Prior to that, you know, growth had still been looking pretty good. You know, and that's partly because the US is running this huge budget deficit. On my numbers, about 7% of GDP. And that's a huge input into economic growth.
Still, we know that a number of economists are talking about the potential for a US recession. What I find interesting is that unlike many other parts of the world where a recession is defined as two consecutive quarters of negative growth, in the US, a recession is defined as a significant decline in economic activity across the economy and lasts more than a few months. But it also takes into a consideration a broad range of economic indicators like unemployment, for example, and it's defined by a national bureau, right? So do you think the US is headed for a recession and what are the implications for investors?
Sure. Look, I'm inclined to be in the view that we're heading more to a period of stagflation, like weak growth, but still growth, higher inflation, rather than an outright recession. And you know, that's partly because of the size of the US federal budget deficit. 7% of GDP is a huge injection. Oil prices are likely to remain pretty well under control, including because the Saudis have signaled they want to keep on pumping. The defence industry is going to continue to be strong. These are all factors that are helping growth. The big question, of course, is how does everyone react to the tariff changes? We've seen a big fall in consumer sentiment in the last little while. You know, and that's the big question. But I'm personally, I'm more inclined to think that at the moment, the more likely path is slower growth rather than a recession. Now, the big question about investors, right? Here, there's a really clear point, and that is that it's clear the rules of the economic game, the global economic game, are changing before our eyes. And no one but no one knows where they're going to land, right? So unless you really have a clear view in your mind about what you're going to do, what's happening, and how you're going to respond, it's probably a time for caution. And I think that's the key point for investors.
If it's stagflation that what we're looking at, what typically happens in a period of stagflation?
Well, typically you have relatively low growth, unemployment edging up, and relatively high inflation. So, in a sense, you have the worst of all worlds, other than the fact there's not an outright recession and much higher unemployment. So that's classically what happens.
And final question, and considering what you just said about the implication for investors, whether the US economy enters a recession or there's stagflation, does it really matter in terms of the outcome?
Well, look, I mean, I think you're right to sort of say there are recessions and recessions. If you look at the US, for instance, they had a recession in 1969 that was called a form, officially called a recession, but it was actually pretty mild. And in Australia, we didn't register it at all. 12 years later, there was the Volcker recession, and that was mean and horrible, impacted the whole world, and had a big impact on Australia. So there's a lot of variation in how these things can play out. And of course, let's remember that these days the Chinese economy is such a big part of the picture as well, right? And Australia's fortunes are very much influenced by what happens in China. So, there are all those variables in play.
That's Hugh Harley there, a professor of practice at the University of Sydney.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On the Money podcast.
Another good day for the Australian share market. Despite opening in the red, the S&P ASX 200 up 0.24% to 8,145. For more on the day's market action, including his thoughts about the US economy and Donald Trump's first 100 days as president and the impact on the market, I spoke with Darren Thompson, the Chief Investment Officer at Equity Trustees. Darren, so the ASX back in the black after opening in the red today. What's driving it?
Yeah, well, there's probably a couple of factors. I think firstly, we're continuing to digest quite a good CPI print in Australia yesterday, but also we had a fairly benign lead in from the US overnight. The US markets started off quite weak, but then rallied through to their close to finish slightly up, and we sort of carried that forward into today. So, some of the themes that are driving our market reflect those US results, including the aftermarket results of Meta and Microsoft. So, as an example, Meta came through and upgraded their CapEx forecast for the calendar year 25, lifting those to 65 to 72 billion. And that's really driven the data center part of our market today, NextDC, which we like and own, and Goodman Group, as well as DigiCo Infrastructure. DC names, the digital center names, have all rallied quite strongly. We also had a few results. So Amcor and also Woolworths have delivered quarterly results, largely in line, sort of low single digit growth. So that's sort of been reasonably steady. And probably the other piece is that as a consequence of the GDP number in the US, commodities sold off overnight, and that's been reflected in our commodity names. So stocks like BHP and Rio have been a bit softer today.
I've gone into detail about the GDP figures with a professor from the University of Sydney earlier today, but I'm still keen to get your idea of where you think the US economy is at the moment and whether or not you think it is headed towards a US recession and whether or not that actually means anything for investors.
Yeah. Well, I'd say that right at the moment, if we look at the data that's been delivered, the first quarter number obviously has quite a bit of noise in it as a result of the pull forward of imports that have impacted that contraction. So we think that consensus numbers are sitting at calendar year 25 GDP growth in the US of around 2%. Probably, I think that's skewed to the downside. So I think there's around a 50-50 chance of the US going into recession by the back end of this year, mainly due to the uncertainty caused to business confidence and consumer confidence as a result of the Trump administration policy decisions. So certainly, there's still a reasonable expectation at the moment that there'll be reasonable GDP growth, but I think that earnings and GDP forecasts will continue to be downgraded over the course of this year.
And what's that likely to mean for investments?
It kind of The glib answer, it depends on what you're exposed to. Certainly, I think for commodities, it continues to be a headwind. Both the US conditions and also China, I think, are a headwind for global growth and clearly for consumption of commodities. So certainly that part of the market will, I think, continue to be impacted adversely by those dynamics. And then to some extent, it depends on the tariff regime and how it impacts on individual industries. And obviously, there's a huge amount of uncertainty around how that is going to be, how that's going to play out, given the volatility in the administration's decisions.
And as you touched on earlier, we heard from Meta and Microsoft overnight. We're in the midst of corporate reporting season in the US. Have there been any signs or any commentary from such companies about the way these import tariffs are impacting them?
The results are obviously somewhat backward looking. So the results that they've delivered have been quite sound. So I think about 40% of the US corporate community has reported now, and they've slightly beaten estimates to date. And at the moment, the commentary is that they're not seeing it in their current conditions impacting. And indeed, part of that's probably because of a pull forward of demand, but they certainly are cautious around the outlook. So management teams are very cautious around how it's going to play out for the remainder of 25 and beyond. So it's not being impacted. They're not being felt yet, but there's certainly awareness about what the impact will be over the course of the year.
The GDP figures out of the US also coincide with Donald Trump's 100 days in office. I want to talk about that in a few, if we can, for a few moments, because Donald Trump has often lauded markets rising in his first term, yet we haven't heard much as it's coming down, right? So the S&P 500 in the US fell about 7.2% in his first 100 days of office this term. It also did hit a record high in that time too, but in his first term, it rose around 5%. So how would you describe Trump's 100 days as president so far in relation to the way he's impacted the markets? Because I think he said today also to business leaders, hey, give me a bit of time because the tariff policy is going to take some time to flow through.
Yeah, so that's 7.2% decline in the first 100 days is the third worst of any president. I'm sure he's not particularly proud of that fact. But I describe the first 100 days as being somewhat chaotic and leading to heightened uncertainty. And certainly markets really hate uncertainty, and that's what we've seen in terms of the I guess the volatility in policy decisions. Obviously, the tariffs being the predominant one, but whether it be the degree of cuts to in terms of government personnel, as well as just broader geopolitical policy, it's been characterized by volatility, and markets generally don't like volatility. So you referenced the fact that the market had hit a record high. It's obviously still down 7%. So that reflects the extremes that we're seeing. And I think, to be honest, you'd be very brave to say that there's any high degree of certainty about what's coming next. I think we'll have this sort of environment where you're getting both positive and negative news flow, continuing. And no doubt we'll see hear talk around trade deals. We'll hear talk about income tax cuts, all of things which were positive for markets, but interspersed with, I think, ongoing negative news flow as well around tariffs and trade and economic growth.
And finally, given all this volatility that you've just mentioned, what are you telling investors at the moment? What are you telling your clients at the moment? And are there any opportunities at the moment?
Yeah, well, generally, most of our investors have a long-term investment horizon, and it's really hard to make too good decisions to time markets, when to get out and when to get back in. So generally, we're telling our clients that you've got a sound long-term investment framework. Stick to that. Around the margin, we are somewhat defensively positioned, reflecting those views that I referenced, that we think that there will be declining growth and earnings downgrades. So we are underweight equities versus those long-term targets and a bit overweight cash to protect capital, but we're looking for opportunities. And there are opportunities that arise from time to time. I mentioned the fact that, as for example, data centers, the data center the sector had got sold off quite aggressively. We took the opportunity to upweight that within our portfolio. So it's around, I think, staying the course for, in terms of your strategy, being somewhat defensively positioned, but looking for opportunities where certain segments of the market are sold off.
Darren Thompson there, the Chief Investment Officer at Equity Trustees. Don't forget to give this rate, this podcast review or a rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and to click subscribe.
This SBS On The Money stream is provided for informational purposes only. The content in this stream should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision. This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.